My respected elders and brothers, with Allah's grace and mercy, tonight we have completed one quarter of the 29th juz, and today we had begun with Surah Al-Jum'ah. Surah Al-Jum'ah is a Madani surah which was revealed in Medina Munawwara, and one of the important themes in it is of course the day of Jum'ah. With regard to Jum'ah itself, it's a very special day for a believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offered many days to all different denominations. The Jews chose Saturday, the Christians, they chose Sunday, the Muslims chose Friday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this is fitrah, this is closest to the to what actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted for them, wanted for the believer. And it is a very auspicious day, and the Salatul Jum'ah that takes place, I know we've heard this here again and again, but nonetheless we should mention this. The Salatul Jum'ah that takes place is a salient feature of Islam. It's regarded as one of the sha'air of Islam. And hence Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned against discarding this Jum'ah for three times in a row. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam severely warned against it. So Allah ta'ala give us a tawfiq, wherever we are in our work, our occupations, whatever, we need to make some arrangements to perform Jum'ah Salah. Somewhat, some kind of, even if it means that we've got to forfeit some part of our salary, and we have to have our salary cut so that we could come for Jum'ah Salah and we could, inshallah, go back and resume work, then we should do so and not regard just work as a flimsy excuse to discard our Jum'ah Salah. Allah give us the tawfiq. In the Salatul Jum'ah, Allah, in this Suratul Jum'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about an incident which took place where once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving the khutbah, and as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued as the khutbah, in those days the khutbah, for some time, for a little while, the khutbah used to be read after the salah. The khutbah used to be read after the salah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was busy with the khutbah, and people heard some sound from outside, and they heard such as like bells ringing. And it was actually a sign that the caravan that had been sent to Yemen or to send to Sham with lots of grain has come, and it was a moment when the people of Medina Munawwara were sort of suffering from a famine and a drought. So many of the people left the masjid, and just a few people remained in the masjid to listen to the khutbah because they went out to go and purchase their grain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them that it is more important for you to participate in the khutbah. And then nonetheless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonishes the Muslims strongly, but then towards the ending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ. Say, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say unto them that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has is much more. مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has is much more beneficial than your amusement and than your business. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. And Allah is the one who gives the best of rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this verse in this way. Now my respected elders and brothers, it's got much to do with rizq, because just a little earlier in the surah Allah ta'ala talks about min fadlillah. After the Salatul Jum'ah is complete now, when since we know that the khutbah is first and then the salah, then Allah ta'ala says disperse in the earth and go out in the earth and seek the bounty of Allah. And the bounty of Allah means the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But towards the ending Allah ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. Allah is the best of those who give rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say Allah is the one who gives the most amount of rizq. He said, I am the one who gives the best of rizq. And my respected elders and brothers, this is important for a believer, that when we go out to pursue, or when we go out in the pursuit of wealth for that matter and for our rizq, then respected elders and brothers, a believer is not out there so that he could see how much more he can get, but how much he can get which is the best of rizq for him, which is the best form of rizq. So therefore, even if a believer, a Muslim, has a little rizq, but that rizq Allah has put barakah into it, and it is good, and it is from halal source, then my respected elders and brothers, that is what Allah wants from a person, and that is rizq which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought, or Allah has dragged that rizq to that person. But Allah has not told us to go out in search of more rizq. And this is sometimes a misconception that we go about with. And therefore today there is the proliferation, the spreading of individuals within our community, and sometimes ourselves alone, that we have no ethics when it comes to earning. So long as I amass more, that's okay. And at the end we say, no, alhamdulillah, Allah has given me so much. Just to justify that. My reflection is that does not justify. Haram rizq has come into our possession, and whether it has come from a haram source or whether it has come through haram means, whether it has come through, you know, through taking somebody else's wealth, whether it has come through, you know, selling the wrong products. Allah Ta'ala save us all, this has become, you know, we have been plagued by this year. My respected elders and brothers, haram risk is not wanted by Allah. In fact, so much so that if a person has to give sadaqah from that too, that sadaqah is not wanted. If that sadaqah is sort of, so to say, thrown back. A person gives sadaqah, he earns haram wealth, and then he gives sadaqah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ وَلَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure, and Allah only accepts that which is absolutely pure. Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, prior to accepting Islam, he had a few altercations and a few skirmishes with a few tribes. He went into one of these tribes. This was prior to accepting Islam, and there was an altercation that took place, and lives were taken. He had also taken the lives of a few people, and he ran away from there. He fled from there, and after some time, he had also taken some of their possession. He had taken some of their possession, and he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a little later. And then he heard about Islam, so he decided to accept Islam. And upon accepting Islam, he was so overwhelmed with Islam that he brought all that he had looted and he had plundered, he brought it, and he said, "Oh Rasul of Allah, I'd like to give this here for the sake of Islam." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Where did you get this from?" So he said, "This is what had happened. I had gone to a particular area and we had this skirmish, and then I plundered and I looted and I took this with me." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Amma Islamuka," when it comes to your Islam, then it is absolutely accepted. And when it comes to this wealth that you present to me, neither does Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want such wealth. Take this wealth away and go and return it to its original owner. So halal earnings is an important, it's an integral part. A person who goes out to seek halal earnings, even though it might be little, but he's gone out and he's toiled and he's labored and he's worked very hard for that halal earnings, and he's come home at night totally exhausted, then my respected elders and brothers, as he enters his home, man amsa kalan min amal yadi amsa maghfuran lahu. As he enters his home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "This servant's sins have all been forgiven." Because he's gone out in the pursuit of halal sustenance. And a person who has amassed haram, then my respected elders and brothers, so long as that lukma, that one morsel of food that he has purchased, and that haram is in various forms, you know, whether it is a person through accruing interest, or whether that haram is through selling the wrong product, selling those things which are devastating our community. If we are involved in the trade of anything, any substances which are devastating, which are haram, which are intoxicants, whether it is alcohol or whether it is anything else such as alcohol, these substances, you know, whether it is a person is selling weed or whatever else, my respected elders and brothers, that money that has been accrued through that is absolutely haram. And if we were involved in it, then this is time for redemption. This is the time to make that change. Make an intention, I'm only going to eat halal. Just make an intention. Let us make that intention. I'm going to see that nothing is going to go down the throat except that which is halal. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu one day partook of some food, and that food was given to him from his attendant. Then after that, he was extremely hungry, so he partook of that food. Then his attendant told him that, "Abu Bakr, normally whenever you eat, whenever I offer you some food, you tell me, where did you get it from? Today you didn't ask me." He said, "I was extremely hungry, but nonetheless, let me ask you, where did you get it from?" He said, "Look here, long before I accepted Islam, I had passed by a particular tribe, and I noticed that one of them, actually they came to me and they complained to me, and they told to me that one of them had been bitten by a snake. So do I know anything which I can read as some kind of incantation so that I could remove the ill effects of the poison?" So at that time I started reading some things which were of jahiliyyah. I started reading some kind of incantation, some kind of recitals, and many of those recitals had shirk in it, and it had many other things in it. So I recited that, and the person was cured. And so out of a gift, they gave me some money. And I took through that money, I purchased some food, or rather out of a gift, they gave me some food, and I brought that food to you. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went out and he started trying to vomit. He induced himself to vomit. And when he realized that his stomach was absolutely empty, and that morsel of food was not coming out, he started drinking water, and then tried to vomit. And he carried on, and he continued doing so. And finally, eventually, that morsel of food came out. So his attendant told him, "Why all this trouble?" He said, "If I had to go through all this trouble, and in the interim, if my life also had to go, I was prepared to let my life go, but I do not want a morsel of food to go down my stomach or to be consumed, which is of a haram source, or which is of a doubtful and a dubious source." So my respected elders and brothers, if we have been earning through some kind of haram means, this is the time to change. This is the time to change and to make the change and to say, oh Allah, though it might be less, but you are khayrul raziqeen. You give the best of this, not the most of this. You will give me, I want you to be, in respect of me, the one who gives the best of this. And when Allah Ta'ala gives the best of this, though it might be little, Allah gave the best of this to who? To His most beloved. And who was His most beloved? The Anbiya, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah gave him the best of this. And when we think the best of this, what was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? One day he ate and he thanked Allah. And the next day there was no food, so he fasted and he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the best of this. And a person is happy on that condition. So Allah Ta'ala bless us with good rizq. In one of the surahs that we read today, it linked to this rizq, which is Surah At-Talaq. Surah At-Talaq, the second verse of Surah At-Talaq and the third verse of Surah At-Talaq. So towards the ending of the first, towards the ending of the second ayah of Surah At-Talaq, the second verse of Surah At-Talaq and the entire third ayah of Surah At-Talaq. If a person reads this ayah, if a person is suffering from some kind of difficulty in terms of rizq, and we read this ayah 7 times after every Farad Salat, and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give us rizq from whence we cannot even expect. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, this is the verses, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, whoever fears Allah, Allah will make a way out for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and Allah will sustain him from whence his mind has not even thought of. Allah will grant him rizq, like how Allah granted the rizq to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. A Sahabi sitting in the toilet, he goes out to go and relieve himself. He's sitting in the toilet. While he's sitting in the toilet, he sees a rat come out. Now if we saw that, we would have forgotten his stinja. But this Sahabi, of course, he sees a rat coming out, and this rat comes out, and in the mouth of the rat, there is a gold coin. And he places it in front of the Sahabi. And then the rat goes back into its hole, and it comes out with another gold coin. And he goes back in his hole and comes up with another. Like that, 7 coins, 7 gold coins, 7 gold bullion coins, right? And after that, it comes out with a little bag to show that it's finished now. There's nothing more, right? So anyway, and then the rat goes away. The Sahabi takes this, presents it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell out of your fear of Allah, rizqun saqahu Allahu ilayk. The words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are quite poignant in here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is your rizq which Allah has dragged it to you. You didn't have to go dragging after that rizq. Allah has dragged that rizq to you. Don't wait for something in the toilet the next time you go. But this is how Allah subhanahu, when Allah sustains him from where we did not even think of, where we did not even consider. Then my respected elders and brothers, we go into Surah At-Taghabun, which once, you know, in the Jummah also we had mentioned. This is a Surah which is a Madani Surah. It was revealed in Medina Munawwara. But the theme of the Surah is a Makki theme. We notice that the Surahs in Medina that were revealed, they have laws. They are with regard to making a person mukallaf. In other words, the laws of Shariat which are upon a person, and that is the laws which are discussed in those surahs which are revealed in Medina Munawwara. But this is a Makki surah, and a Makki surah generally talks about Iman, Risala, and about Akhirat. This is, despite being a Madani surah, this is a surah which discusses the Makki theme. It talks about Iman, Risala, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prophethood, and Akhirat. And the reason for this year, because the surah follows this after Surah Munafiqun, the reason for this year is that my respected elders and brothers, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the mu'mineen with Iman, and rather they struggled and they strived with that Iman in Makkah, that Iman was made, then they came to Medina Munawwara, and after a few years, in fact after the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, there was no longer any war, and therefore the Muslims were quite settled, and many people now had come into the fold of Islam. Now you must remember, in Makkah was like a furnace. The Muslims were branded there, the Muslims were burnt, literally and figuratively. They were driven out of Makkah. But now when they came to Medina, things were a little more settled. So it became easy for people, of course, to accept Islam. However, when there is not much strife behind our Islam, then respected Allah, that is, there's also not that much of appreciation for Islam. Right? We know our great-grandfathers and our grandfathers who had come to this country maybe 50, 60 years ago, the amount of strife that they went through. And today, alhamdulillah, through the barakah of that, the blessing of that, we find these masajid around them. We have gotten Islam on our plate. And we have gotten Islam in a somewhat, we did not have to really toil much for that Islam. We did not have to toil much for that Islam. And we have that Islam. And my respected elders and brothers, there is a possibility and a probability. And sometimes even it is actually present that we don't show real appreciation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the surah just after Surah Munafiqun. It is like a refresher. That remember, they are very, laws of Sharia are very important for you, the laws, and to enact those laws, to act upon them. But also a refresher that remember that your main allegiance is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to that iman that you have. And that iman needs to be rekindled again in you. That iman needs to be refreshed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah with, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever is in the heaven, whatever is in the earth, all of them glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever, not whoever, not a human being, but ma is for those غَيْرُ ذَوِي الْعُقُولِ, for those which are not human and human alike. So يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. Remember, if you as a Muslim, we think I'm living here in England, and I'm a Muslim, and in this land here, I am taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I am your servant here. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you can say that, very good. But remember, Allah does not need your worship. For whatever is in the heavens and the earth, that glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not in need of that worship of yours. So to say. So it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is refreshing our faith. Ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. And who is that Allah? That ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamd. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His hands lies entire sovereignty. He is the real sovereign. He is the real king. Kingdom lies in His hands only. The entire earth is His. This entire earth that you are living on is His. He is the owner. He is not just the governor. He is the king. He is the master. He is the absolute proprietor of this earth that you are standing upon, upon which the same earth also glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is that Allah, that is that earth which is in the ownership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is in the proprietorship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But naturally, when we think a person is a landowner, and we think zamindar in Pakistan, maybe some of us who know back, and think, oh, somebody must be really full of himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, he's not. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. He owns this entire, he's a real true owner. But all praises and all credit and all worth is all due to him. Because he is the best of owners too. And he is the most just also. So to him belongs all praise. Just like how to him belongs sovereignty, to him belongs all praise. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. This verse here, my respected brothers and sisters, should shake us really. This is a verse revealed to the Sahaba who are living in Medina Munawwara. Remember, and this is the verse that Allah ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي, it is Allah who has created you, خَلَقَكُمْ, who has created you, فَمِنْكُمْ, some of you will be believers, some of you will be disbelievers. فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. Some of you will be disbelievers, some of you will be believers. And some of you are disbelievers, some of you are believers. This is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing us in this way here. Which makes us shudder to think that we are believers, but remember, Allah has created us, that iman that has been placed in our heart, it is through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawfiq. And my respected brothers and sisters, there could be a time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَصَدَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken nothing but the truth. He said, a time will come when a person will believe in the morning, but will go to bed in the evening, he'll be a disbeliever. And a person will go to bed at night as a believer, and they'll wake up in the morning without that faith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Then Allah ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. Allah created the heavens and the earth. وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ سُوَرَكُمْ. And He designed you. Allah designed us. وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ سُوَرَكُمْ. He designed you, and He designed you in the best possible manner. So the way we are, the way Allah has created us, the way our face is, the way our complexion is, the way our color is, the way our hues are, the way our contrast are, whatever else, the way our, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed our, made our bodies, the proportion that Allah has created our bodies, my respected brothers and sisters, that is how Allah has created us. فَأَحْسَنَ سُوَرَكُمْ. So therefore, it's like as if Allah is saying out to us, that don't look in the mirror again and say, I wish I had a longer nose, I wish I had a shorter nose, I wish I had thicker eyebrows, I wish I had thinner eyebrows. Allah has made you in this way. And Allah says, فَأَحْسَنَ سُوَرَكُمْ. He made you and He best made you. He made you in the best possible way. So do not become ingratitude or ungrateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ni'mah. Then my respected brothers and sisters, in the second ruku, Allah ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Whatever comes upon you, whatever calamity comes upon you, it comes because Allah has willed it so. This is a very bitter point. This particular issue. This is something which sometimes is unpalatable. And today we get that question thrown at us. And sometimes that question also goes in our own minds. We also go through that question and we say, but why is there evil? Why is there calamities? Why are there killings? If there was a God out there, sometimes the thought goes through. If there was a God out there who is an all-merciful God, how come there is still all these calamities that are befalling? How come there is all this killing in this, and there is this, you know, this death that takes place? My respected Alison brothers, and somewhat we think that this is a valid question. And let me tell you, this is the same question which the Malaika said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They posed this to Allah. This is not a new question. This is not a new question today that some kind of a skeptic or some kind of an agnostic comes about and he says, yes, you believe in a God, but where's the, you know, what about all the anarchy that takes place? How could a God be so merciful? How could he accept all that anarchy? How could he accept all that? How could there be evil? How could there be the presence of evil? In fact, that is such a worthless, such a, you know, it's not a weighty argument at all. How could there be evil? But nonetheless, this is what is put forward to us. This is not a new question. Allah Ta'ala mentioned it. Brazenly Allah Ta'ala mentioned it. That this is a question which was posed by the Malaika. When Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said to the Malaika, I'm going to create this human being on this earth. Right? And I'm going to place him as the Khalifa. What did the Malaika say? Oh Allah, are you going to create somebody who is going to cause havoc in this earth? Who is going to cause bloodshed in this world? Alright? That is what the Malaika said. In other words, they also said, oh Allah, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be evil. You know, why would you want to create evil? Why would you want to create something which will create evil? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, and that's the reply for us. The most simple reply. But a simple reply sometimes eludes us. Allah ta'ala said to the Malaika, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know that which you do not know. The wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far, far beyond this human being. Because this human being cannot even see further than his nose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows far more than what this human, far more than what this human, or in fact this was said to the Malaika, far more than what you know, O Malaika. So then think about this human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom is far more than this this human being too. And my respected brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created what is relative to us as evil. In the greater scheme of things, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is good only. In the greater scheme of things, everything that Allah Ta'ala has created is good only. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relative to us, we see evil around us, relative to this human being. So this human being finds certain things to be evil, and in evil itself is something which is relative. It is relative. It means that it relates to certain, and it doesn't relate to certain people. It relates to certain circumstances, and doesn't relate to certain circumstances. I mean, if you have a burger now, right? Maybe because you're hungry, right? Maybe we're all hungry. All right, we have a burger, a nice juicy burger. We have a nice juicy burger right now, and that juicy burger is made from the best beef. All right, and that juicy burger is put in front of us. Of course, it will make us drool. And it makes us happy, and it makes us euphoric, and we've got, there's a burger here. But if you had to take that very same burger and place it in front of a cow, and show him that burger, see this? Or for that matter, if you bought from Tesco, if you had a horse, right, and you put it in front of the horse, all right, then what would that, I mean, it's relative. So to that human being, it is that, we all in our homes, we have one little cupboard in which we have all our detergents, is that correct? We have all our detergents, we have our fairy, and we have, not a fairy, but we have fairy, and we have lots of other things in there. And we also have insecticide in there. We have those insect sprays. Okay. And sometimes we take out that insect spray, especially now when it's really hot and there's mosquitoes and there's flies around, and we go on a craze. Now did we ever think, hey, what that poor little fly must be thinking? That poor fly that is there, what that fly must be thinking? This man is this person is an absolute, you know, he's an oppressor. He's really killing, he's just wiping out our generation, my children and everything. That's what the fly must be thinking. So relative to the fly, we are evil. But in the greater scheme of things, for the benefit of us, just so that it's not a nuisance to us. I mean, in fact, it's just a nuisance. The fly is just a nuisance. Or maybe if somebody is really scientific, you know, it carries particular bacteria and whatever else. But it's just a nuisance to us. But to us, killing of that fly, it's acceptable, it's a good thing to do. So my respected elders and brothers, Allah's wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created situations, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, for that matter, seemingly calamities, and seemingly things which might not be palatable to this human being, and seemingly evil things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. You find a person, if you're the proper, if a person is a proper skeptic, you go up and you find that there are two people that are fighting. Two people are fighting. And they're both beating each other up. Okay? So as a proper skeptic, you look at it, you'll say, that's evil. And you'll walk away from it. That's a skeptic. That's this agnostic. That you look at both these individuals and say, they're fighting, he's fighting. Fighting is evil, hence both of them are evil. Both of them are doing an evil act. But if you knew the wisdom behind, maybe the one person was just defending himself. Maybe the one person was defending his honor. Maybe he was defending, maybe he stood up for his right. So if we knew what that person's, you know, perception was, then of course we'll justify. My respect to that is another, that is because that person knows why he stood up. Why is he fighting? He knows why he's fighting. So everything seemingly might seem as evil, or it might seem as a calamity. But respect to that is in the greater scheme of things, Allah Ta'ala says so beautifully in the Quran, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. Fighting, or rather not fighting, but rather warfare, qital, warfare has been permitted for you. وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. However, it seems to be difficult for you to do. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا. But remember, many a things you will dislike, but Allah has put good in it. And many a things you will like, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disapproved that for you. You see, a person taking he has an injection in his hand, and he's putting that, and he's inserting something into his body, right, through that injection. And you ask him, what is it? Or rather, you ask the doctor, what is it? And the doctor says that, no, it's some bacteria that we're putting into him, actually from the cholera, you know, from cholera itself, the cholera bacteria that has been, we sort of cultured it, and now we've placed it into him so that it can create some kind of antibodies in his body so that it can fight. Alright? How could you look at it and say, how could you do that? You're actually putting bacteria, you're putting cholera into his system. And you see another person sitting on the street, and he is also injecting himself. And you ask him, what are you injecting himself? He says, I'm injecting myself so that I could feel high. All right? I could feel high. And I say, MashaAllah, brother, that's great. Right? That's great. At least you'll reach the heavens. You know, because you'll be feeling high. And we say, but respect to that, that is, Asa and Takrahu Shay, and many a things you will dislike, but Allah has put good in it. And many a things you will like, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disapproved it for you. So, good to this human being and evil to this human being is relative. And therefore, my respected Alayhi wa sallam, it is the wise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows exactly what is happening and who has created these trials in this world. Firstly, why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these seemingly unpalatable things? Why has Allah created it? First, to test us. To test us. Because if this was not present, then there would be no test. There would be absolutely no test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that so that he could test us. Okay? You give a test to a child and tell him, read through the paragraph, and then after the answer the question on the right hand side. But if you answer the questions already for him, then it's no longer a test. If everything, he said, no, shame, he might not be able to do it. It's okay, let me answer that. Then it's no longer a test. So everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon us, respected Allah and others, is a test. Test for who? Like I just read, I read somebody saying that I cannot believe in an Allah. I cannot believe in a God who asked me to kneel in front of him. No. We say, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed that upon you so that he could test you whether you are the real human being. Allah ta'ala says, أَلِفْ لَامِ مَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَيُّتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could differentiate, like we say, between the, take the boys away from the, take the men out of the boys. You know, so those who are serious, those who are absolutely truthful, and those who are just not truthful in their statement, that's where the test comes. So that's the first level of that test. And then the second level of test, after a person passes that, or even maybe together with that test, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us through unpalatable conditions? My respected brothers and sisters, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept with every good, Allah has kept an evil, so that we could appreciate that good. If we had no black at all, there was nothing black, there was no black color, how would we ever appreciate white? If there was no black color, how this white can be entirely properly appreciated if it's on a black backdrop? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created evil. And my respected Alayhi wa sallam, that is evil, again, that is in the greater scheme of things, it's still good, because it is there so that we could appreciate the good. Because if there was no evil, if there was no calamity in our life, and we just went on, then we would have never appreciated the good condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Or that's why in the greater scheme of things, whatever Allah has created is good only. Whatever Allah has created is good only. And finally, my respected brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so beautifully. And of course, this sums it up. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for a believer, every condition is good. In asabahu sarra, hamid Allah wa shakara. If a believer is overcome with some good moment, hamid Allah, he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says all praise are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he thanks Allah. And if he is faced with an adverse condition, then again this believer, he endures it patiently, and he says all praise is due to Allah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ended this hadith by saying, all conditions are just good for this believer. This is, both conditions are good for this believer. So the believer, irrespective of which condition he is in, that is my respected brothers and sisters, every condition, whether, you know, it might be a test or it might be there, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could make us appreciate. Or in one, or in, maybe in another context, we could look at it this way here, that everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in one unit, if we had to look at it in one unit, as being one unit, then there is only good. But in that one unit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has played two contrasting parts, just like how the Chinese say with regard to the yin and the yang, right? So the you know, the black and the white, the dot on it, they both have to be there. And if any one of them is not present, the other one also disappears. You know, if you had to take a finger and put your finger into a sugar bowl, I mean, this is such a silly example, but anyway, I hope you understand it. If you take your finger and put it into a sugar bowl and pierce it through the sugar, all right? And then we take our finger out, and you'll say there is a hole in the sugar. But that hole in the sugar is only because there is sugar around. If you had to empty the sugar bowl and then you put your finger in, and you say there is a hole in the sugar. Not. Both are dependent upon each other, so to say. Or rather, let's say the existence of that hole is upon the existence of the sugar around it. Similarly, my respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created what to us seemingly sometimes might be unpalatable, but all that, both these as a unit, they need to be seen as one, because this is only going to strengthen a believer. This only strengthens a believer. It only makes his resolve even more stronger. And towards the end of the 29th para, and I'll conclude with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us two beautiful examples of the very same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there's an example of the Prophet Nuh. There's an example of the Prophet Lut alayhi salam. These are prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their children, they were prophets, they were chosen, selected, they were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their children, their progeny, were given their choice, they were given free will. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that free will, and a person does not take avail of it, then even the wife of a prophet ended up becoming a kafir. The wife of Lut alayhi salam, the wife of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, when that free will that was given was not applied correctly, then they also turned out to be disbelievers. And on the other hand, we have Fir'aun, the greatest transgressor that ever stepped foot on this earth. This Fir'aun, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided on Hidayah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his wife Hidayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his wife Hidayah, the person who lived with him, the person who brought Musa alayhi salam into his life or into his house, the person who in fact, when he heard that his wife had turned renegade, he went out to the people and he said to them, what do you say with regard to my wife? What is your opinion with regard to my wife? All the people unanimously agreed. They said, your wife is the best, is the best. Then he said to those people, but my wife, she has just refuted me and she believes in the Rabb of Musa. So people said, no, then she's the worst. They were just fans, supporters. No. Supporters, fans are exactly the same. There were no strict loyalty. He said, no, she is the worst. Kill her. So then Fir'aun got her, and he actually nailed her onto the ground, onto a piece of rock. He nailed, he actually had nails, knocked into her in that way. And then finally he had this large rock to be thrown upon her. And this large rock was rolling. It was told that this large rock should be rolled from a high place and it should be thrown onto her. And it was brought closer and closer and closer. And as she saw it, she made a dua. And Allah recorded that dua in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded that dua in the Quran. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Look at her dua. Oh Allah, give me and grant me a home close to your proximity. You know, in your proximity, grant me a home in Jannah. And I'm prepared to give my life for that. So before the rock fell on her, her ruh was taken. She did not have to suffer the pain of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كمل من الرجال كثير. Many from among the men reach the peak of perfection. From among the women, there are a few only who reach the peak of perfection. One of them was Khadijah al-Kubra رضي الله عنها. One of